Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson and also includes the parable in the middle that we did not read. And the title is Evangelizing the Religious. Evangelizing the religious. Do the religious need evangelizing? Let me start us out with a saying. There is only one safe place in this universe, and that is standing as a sinner before God. Remember that? We'll come back to it. Let's first zero in on the parable that we didn't read. It's the one about the wicked tenants. You know, the ones who murder the son of the owner of the vineyard. And this parable is for the spiritually in crowd, the ones who figured that they had made it and they were in with God and had something to boast about. And the temptation for us is to see that parable making sense as long as it is talking about somebody else's sin. Now the Jews, the Pharisees, those others over there, they did it, not me. But the parable has to be to me. If I am to have the words of Jesus working on me. So I have to take my stand as one of the wicked tenants and point the parable at myself. And so let's apply it. If you are an elder in this church and feel that that maybe gives you a special place, you are in danger. If you have been going to church for 50 or 60 or 70 years and figure that's enough, and you don't have to read your Bible or devote yourself to prayer, you might be in trouble. And if you are confirmed or about to be confirmed and figure that it is a graduation, graduating from religion, you can take off and rest from this religion bit for a decade or so, then this parable is for you. That's zeroing in. Pulling back and looking at the whole scope of the chapter. Luke chapter 20. Jesus in Jerusalem, and most of the commentaries and a lot of sermons deal with the exchanges in Luke 20, something like this. These are debating points. Oh, we're right now smack dab in the middle of what's going on in our nation. Debating points, okay. So one after another, they step up to challenge Jesus. He has rolled into Jerusalem on a wave of popularity and they are threatened by it, and they think they have to bring him down a bit. Does that sound familiar? So, they challenge him with a series of questions intended to trap or expose Jesus and his teaching in front of the people, but Jesus rises to every challenge and leaves them looking embarrassed and not wanting to ask him any more questions. And then he turns on them and asks them a question, and it befuddles and silences them, and the crowd loves it. Debating points? Actually, these are not debating points. These are life and death points. And Jesus is calling them to spiritual truths. He is calling the religious to spiritual truth. It would be a mistake to read through those back and forths and not remember the purpose, the goal, why Jesus was doing this, what he was working at and trying to do, namely, to call sinners to repentance, to life, to salvation. And so instead of debating points, listen for the spiritual content. To the teachers of the law, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? And then launching into that parable, and then to those same teachers of the law, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Think about it. And then to the Sadducees, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when they stopped asking questions, then he says, and who is the Christ? He's calling them to spiritual truths. Why? Jesus knows the hearts of all. He knows the inner thoughts, and with that knowledge, he calls us into faith, into believing him as the Savior. And that's true. That is true across the board, without exception, reaching out for every man, woman, and child in the human race. And all through the Bible, we see that even those who are lost, that God had reached out and called them to repent and hear his word of life and salvation. And the spiritual truths are about John's baptism, repentance, and new birth. About the parable, know the sin that is in you, and then know what God has done in sending his Son for you. About taxes, the most important thing in life is your relationship with God. And look at and see everything and every part of your life in that light. About the resurrection, your life is hidden and kept in God's relationship with you and in how he calls you. Finally, in his question to them, everything has to come back to your relationship with the Christ. What do you say of Jesus? Who is he? That's the question. And that is at the heart of everything. And why does he do this? Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, and because no matter who you are, he calls you. And what does this mean for us? Jesus calls. He calls us to come to the knowledge of salvation. He calls the scribe and the Pharisee. He calls the priest and the leper. He calls Saul the persecutor. He calls the Muslim and the Hindu to come and to know him, and in knowing him, to know salvation. And this is the surprising one. He even calls you, and he calls me. The religious, the regular in church, the ones who open our Bibles. Because still it is a Savior who calls us, and calls us as a person, calls us as the Son of God, calls us as our brother, calls us as our Savior, calls us as our Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And when he calls, he invites us to stand as sinners before God. Why? Why does it have to be that way? Well, because it's the only safe place in the whole universe to stand as a sinner before God. The only safe place. You try any other spot, any other stance, and it means destruction. The only safe place in the universe is standing as a sinner before God, and that is what Jesus calls us to. Why? Because that is the place of truth. The deep down truth about us that we know down in our hearts. The only place where we can be truthful with ourselves and with our God. And then second, because that's the place where Jesus meets us. He takes his stand there. He takes his stand where sinners stand before God. That's the place he goes. It's called the cross, where he takes the sin of the whole world, gathers it into himself, and stands before God together with us, and at the same time, alone and for us, and invites us to come and meet him there. Because only at that spot of his cross, that spot of sin before a righteous God, only that spot is safe. Because that's the only spot where Jesus has made it safe. The only spot where there is his mercy, his grace, his love, his salvation, there in the pouring out of his blood, in the accepting of judgment, in the cry, in the welcoming of sinners. And so we come to meet him there, because he comes to meet us there. In Jesus' name, amen.